Roselli Northern supports upstate New York construction with over 400 employees, 250 trucks, 9 ready-mix plants, 4 blacktop plants, and 40 aggregate mines. But their most important number is your bottom line. Contact them today to see why Roselli Northern has been the choice for contractors and project managers across upstate New York since 1929.
Welcome in to Fresh Takes with Russo and Felice. Paul Russo here, Nick Felice, our Felice portion of today's proceedings, as always, to my left. Nick, good to see you. It's nice we were able to enjoy basketball this weekend as fans, not as part of our jobs. First time kind of all year. You were at, I forget what it's called now, but you were at the Syracuse Hobart game too on Saturday, and luckily you were inside for that one, in the press box anyway. I was told from people who were at the game it was a cold one, and a bit of a wet one as well, because apparently they didn't handle cleaning the bleachers out too well.
I forget too, I think it's called the Cross Simmons Trophy game?
Something like that, yeah.
But yeah, that was a fun game. Always cool for Syracuse to come to Geneva. I think that's always makes it interesting. The tailgates were out in effect. A lot of people still showed up, even though it was cold, very cold weather. If I wasn't sitting in that press box, I don't know if I would have been there. was cold.
Yeah.
But press box was nice and toasty. I enjoyed it. We did have a fire alarm. The fire alarm went off in the press box.
Oh, really?
Had to get out for a second, but you know, it was 2 seconds. But yeah, that was fun. Kicked off. Well, it was in the middle of a great week of sports, and now we're kicking off another great week of sports.
And of course, in great Fresh Takes tradition, breaking baseball news is occurring right now.
Okay.
Will Smith, the catcher for the Dodgers, and the Dodgers have agreed to a 10-year, $140 million extension.
Wow.
You
tend to see that. You tend to see that a lot right before opening day.
But for Will Smith?
Yeah, I know. How much was the money again?
10 years, $140 million.
They aren't afraid to spend the money.
I mean, it's 14 a year, which I guess probably equates out for him, but like for a catcher?
Yeah, 10 years.
Wow.
He's definitely not gonna be playing catcher at the end of that contract.
No.
I guarantee you that. But still going about how I'm doing, so let's not jump again.
That's the breaking news.
It's very important to know how I am doing.
Yeah, tell us, Nick.
Went to my first spring sport yesterday.
Nice.
Newark Boys Lacrosse.
Yeah.
They're up 4-0 after one. Lost 7-5. Five goals in the second, and one goal in the start of the third. First minute to they lost to East United / East Ridge. Yes, not sure how many schools are in there, but
No, that's East Ridge and Rochester City United. Yeah. I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah. Anyway, went to that, so that was cool to get back out there. It was nice weather. Decent weather for
not as good as today.
No, today's nice. Yeah. It's going to get a little not chilly, but it's going to get a little bit cooler coming up. And that's your weather forecast.
We'll see everybody next week.
And here's your 7-day forecast. Tomorrow's one of my favorite sporting days of the year. MLB opening day, and to have it on the same day as the start of the Sweet 16, which we have a great Sweet 16 talk about, it's great.
Yeah,
tomorrow's a great day. I love that day.
Yeah, perfect little lead-in, because those are really our two main topics today. So let's start, though, with the Sweet 16. Obviously, through the first two rounds already. Had some headlines, but more than anything, it's kind of the main headline here, and I don't admittedly know why. It's a pretty chalky Sweet 16. Albeit the first time since 2019, all 1 through 2 seeds have each gotten in. And it's kind of funny, because we did talk a little bit off air, a little bit about it. We did talk about it 2 weeks ago or last week a little bit too as well, to a degree, about like the expansion element of the tournament and stuff like that. But I think this year wouldn't have made too much of a difference. It's strange. I mean, I think the biggest headlines really through the weekend were probably obviously Oakland out of the Horizon League.
Jack Goki.
Right. And I guess maybe to like a bit of a degree, Grand Canyon, but in James Madison, but not really. Ended up being really, I guess, for really all the teams except Oakland. Oakland obviously had the fighting chance there. We didn't have any true Cinderellas this year in that sense. I think obviously the biggest Cinderella, no pun intended, given their name, main player for the Sweet 16 at this point, NC State. Hard to call, although they are a double digit seed, hard to call a Power Six in the basketball sense conference team a Cinderella. But, you know, all things considered, it's been a pretty good March Madness still so far. I don't think it's been, you know, I would probably still put it up there for like one of the top 25% or so of our lifetime so far, but it hasn't been what I would call the end-all, be-all of the greatest that we've seen so far, but it's been really great so far. I think, too, you know, it's one of those things as we get further away from 2020 and 21, where obviously no tournament, the bubble tournament and stuff like that, you know, now we're really kind of into no restrictions that we have seen or anything like that. It's been pretty good crowds, all things considered, for the most part. There's been a couple, though, where I've looked out, especially the earlier games at each locale. It's like, oh, this is a barren sight right now. Like, even for Saturday in their round of 32 game, the second round game, Kansas was out in Salt Lake City. And that's like a 10:45 game that was out there in Salt Lake City or something like that, or 10:30, because I think it was like a...
What were they playing game Saturday morning for?
Well, like, there was like nobody there for that game. But yeah, I mean, it's all part of the TV and the numbers, and I get it. But like at that point, like, why wouldn't you just have an East Coast team be at 12:30 and not... Either way, you know, whatever. Nick, turn over to you. Obviously, you know, we say enough on here about how much we both really love college basketball, and you too. You know, you're running, as you said last week, you know, you got the bracket pool going again. What's it kind of been like through that with you so far, and what have your thoughts kind of been through the first couple rounds?
My bracket is halfway decent this year. I think that's the biggest takeaway. But
you selfish person.
Speaking of selfish, I think we've been too spoiled the last few years. We've had 15 seeds make it to the
right.
to the Sweet 16, and then St. Peter's, I forget what year, but recently went to the Elite Eight. You know what this tournament is? This is just a normal tournament. This is a tournament we haven't seen in quite some time.
Yeah.
We grew up watching 12, 11, sometimes 13, 14 seeds like this year win, and we're the 15 and 16 seeds just cannot compete.
Yeah.
Western Kentucky did give who was it, Marquette a game, but... but we've seen that in tournaments right. Earlier in our lives. This is kind of like that tournament, and then they all, you know, second round they come, they phase out, and this is the round where they all die, basically. But but that's how a normal tournament is.
You will die.
This is basically a normal tournament to me. I mean, the top seeds are winning. You got a couple 11 seeds in there. A couple, right? Or just NC State.
NC State, yeah.
Yeah, Oregon lost. Yeah. Right, Oregon lost. I did not. I had them in the Elite Eight, but... and I think Jack Goki was a nice story. You always have to seem to have the nice story with some of those mm-hmm. weaker...
Mid-majors.
Lower seed. How do we determine lower seed? I always think a lower seed is like 1-2, but don't they say lower seed means the higher seed? The higher number?
Yeah, it's whatever.
Yeah, I never...
It's like golf.
I never say that.
It's like golf.
But I think the biggest takeaway is the ACC and the Big East.
Yeah.
One, they only had, ACC had five teams. Big East had three. All Big East are still in it. ACC, they lost Virginia the first day. We're not going to count that. But they have four teams. They have the most teams in the Sweet 16. And while the SEC, the Big 12, the Big 10 do not have as many as those two conferences, they had less teams. So... I think that was a big takeaway. We've seen it before with these two conferences. UConn won it last year. The ACC have won it recently as well. maybe not. Oh, Virginia. Mm-hmm. Virginia 2019. Wasn't that long ago. But so these are conferences I just don't get why they don't get the respect. That's really all I'm just saying.
Well, I think this year the respect element for the ACC just comes down to the fact that it wasn't a great regular season for the conference. I think there was a lot of doubt. And I still have some doubts about kind of the team still in it. But either way. I do want to circle back, though, the one thing before we kind of continue on with the tournament talk. Virginia, kind of the eyesore of this group that you mentioned. I saw a metric last night. It kind of pulled, and we know where we stand. I'm more of a metric-y type guy and stuff like that, but...
You're a geek.
Well, out of these, like, 20 or so coaches of...
I'm a geek, too.
Of the past, like, 25 years, Nick, they had Tony Bennett ranked as the worst coach when it comes to expectation in the tournament. And it's kind of interesting to look at the graphic. Roy Williams was the top of the list. I think the max you get was like a 15.0. 0.0 was obviously average. The furthest down you got negative-wise, so like the negative 15, the worse you are. And Bennett was last on this list, like a negative 7.1 or something like that I saw.
Who was the last?
Tony Bennett. It's interesting. I'm intrigued to hear your thoughts on this. In my mind, if Virginia didn't win that national title, I think if you're Virginia, you would have parted with Tony Bennett by now, right? Like, the past couple of years have been really interesting for that Cavalier program. And I do think admittedly part of it is some outside influence towards the program, rather. I think there's some stuff, obviously, with the athletic department as a whole at Virginia, given some of the unfortunate stuff that's happened there throughout the, like I said, through the department. I think NIL, to a degree, right, is kind of, I wouldn't say hampering them, because, I mean, he still is pulling some good recruits, but, like, you kind of tell where stuff is or isn't. I just feel like, especially this year, like, that can't happen. If you're Virginia, and we make the jokes on here, we know how good Tony Bennett is as a coach, defensively speaking. Offensively, this was a putrid year, like worse than usual for Virginia. Yeah, I mean, we both obviously like teams in the ACC. We look at teams in the ACC. I kind of stand on that. Where I don't think if they win the national title, I don't think Tony Bennett's a coach there anymore. But it's an interesting conundrum because. It's kind of like an NFL quarterback situation, the way I equate it out to is if you were to fire Tony Bennett, like, who do you go and get? Like, there aren't many coaches still that are really, like, above him in that sense either, you know what yeah, I mean? Yeah. Like, it's quite the double-edged sword.
Yeah, I mean, you see a lot in sports where you see a coach that's on the verge of getting fired and they finally get over that hump. It's like Jim Harbaugh. I don't know if he beats Ohio State, what was it, 3 years ago for the first time?
Yeah, two or three. Yeah.
I don't know if he wins that game. I don't know if he keeps his job. Mm-hmm. Perfect example right now in this tournament is Kevin Keats. He was on the hot seat with NC State.
And I have a hot take about that, too.
It's hard to believe. Yeah, they didn't have DJ Burns in that first round of the ACC tournament. They could have lost to Louisville that game. And now...
They had DJ Burns.
Oh, not DJ Burns.
DJ Horn.
DJ Horn. Yeah. If he didn't play that first game. Mm-hmm. And they were almost... They weren't really on the verge of losing, but Louisville gave him a game. I mean, he's gone if they lose to Louisville in the first round, I think. But here they are, seven wins later. They're trying to pull off the 11 straight wins to win the national title, which is unheard of. I mean, they just pulled off a UConn, Kemba Walker UConn. Mm-hmm. And now here they are in the Sweet 16, four wins away. But Tony Bennett, yeah, you're right. There's not too many coaches that are better than Tony Bennett. What'd you say? He was minus seven, whatever.
It's
on
like 7.1 on the metric, yeah.
That's definitely not right. He is a mastermind on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, just unbelievable what they can do. They could hold the greats. I love to see them play Alabama. See how much. Yeah. And give Grand Canyon credit. They held Alabama to not too many points in that second round game. So
I mean, yeah, I mean, it's not like Grand Canyon. Well, look, I'll start here. As an institution, I don't get down with them, but that's a different discussion for a different day. If you're wondering why I don't get down with them, just run it back to, like, the one time I ran it on here about Liberty University, and you'll understand why.
Grand Canyon does have the Valparaiso coach, though.
Right, I was about to say.
The son there.
Son, Bryce. True. Scott Drew's brother.
He's the one that hit the shot.
Right, correct. So, and I know he's linked with a couple different jobs anyway, but either way. Yeah, the Kevin Keats is an interesting one. I've never understood, and like, this is coming from obviously one of the black sheeps, as I call it, of a fan of an ACC team that's viewed as a black sheep, as I call it. At least as it stands right now anyway, but I've never understood why NC State fans want Kevin Keats gone. I don't understand why the administration would even consider get rid of him. I mean, he's a really good coach.
He's made NC State basketball relevant.
Again, yeah. I mean, it's just one of those things where I kind of look at NC State, it's like, what are you guys exactly doing here if you're firing him? Like, it's like the football coach. The football coach has been on the hot seat a ton recently, too. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, like, keep it moving. Anyway. Back to the turn.
It's just tough. You play North Carolina, which got Duke and UNC there. It's just a lot of pressure on those schools. With them in Wake Forest,
it's a lot
of pressure playing that state in that conference.
I think the pressure is a bit overhyped, to be quite honest.
But Raleigh, nice city though.
Oh, I don't disagree. I think the whole entire idea that there's a lot of pressure because of the four schools in Carolina, I think it's a bit of BS, but that's just me. I mean, they all have different lanes, and I don't know why they are obsessed with trying to intrude on the other lane of another, but it's whatever. Like, I don't know.
But you were talking about Virginia?
Well, let's get back to the tournament, though. But now that we have those two kind of... So we get to the Sweet 16 now. Like I mentioned, the ones and the twos all get through for the first time since 19. Fairly chalky.
Well, the great thing about chalk is you got a great matchup.
Well,
there.
Right, and this is where it kind of comes into, right? I don't think, and again, this is where, look, we all love the Cinderellas, right? We love when these, like, mid-majors get in as, like, the 13s and whatever in the 12s and can kind of make a run. But usually, and mathematically, there's no way around it, usually at that point, the six Sweet 16 games, if one gets through to the Elite Eight, they're usually bad games at that point. And it's odd not because, like, some of these teams can go out there and compete, right? I mean, we saw with Butler, but that's now 12 years ago. I don't know. Actually, I guess it technically would be more, 14 and then 13 years ago. we still live in a time where the highest seed, or I guess lowest seed, rather, to ever win a title is an 8 seed, and that was Villanova, and that's now pushing 40 years ago when that happened. You know, it's one of those things where your George Masons aren't really making these runs anymore up through the whatever. It tends to be, you know, the your threes and the fours kind of doing the heavy work now, as I call it, to do the quote-unquote Cinderella thing and upset these higher seeds as we get going here into the second weekend with the Sweet 16 and then Elite Eight on Saturday and Sunday. It's weird because, you know, we're talking obviously off air, like I said, more about the bracket challenge element of it, but it still holds true here, right? And, you know, hey, hand up in the Jerry 1 bracket challenge, right? I'm 97 of 97 right now. It happens. But I'm one of the only people who doesn't have like a chalk pick in the national to win the title right now and still be alive.
Illinois.
That'd be Illinois who, if they win their Sweet 16 game, we'll have to face UConn if they win their Sweet 16 game anyway. But, you know, I sit here and we were talking off air, and I will say it here. You know, I still think UConn probably still has the best chance of winning the national title out of any of these teams. And it's not necessarily a knock on, like, some other teams here, right? I mean, we talked about the Big East, and I'm still pretty high on Marquette, all things considered. Not maybe so much Creighton at this point. There have been certain things throughout the season that I've kind of winced at with Creighton. You know, you'll get the ACC, UNC still with it, Duke, and obviously NC State.
Joe Girard.
Am I blanking? Thank you, Clemson. I blanked on Clemson.
Joe Girard trying to go for a ring.
Known basketball school, Clemson University. right, I just, UNC to me has the best shot, and even then I'm kind of hesitant on them a little bit. But anyway, you know, that's dealing with the bottom left of the bracket there, the West region. And, you know, you'll get the other side. Houston, Had to go to overtime with A&M, but, you know, this is probably one of the better Houston teams that Calvin Sampson's had. And I'm still not, like, uber high on them to get through, but it's just one of those things where I think they might have the better of the shot, at least coming up from the right side anyway. Either way, what I'm getting at here is we have a lot of damn good teams here left, and I wouldn't be surprised if any one of them got knocked out by any of the others. But something about UConn still makes me feel like, in terms of like actual basketball on the floor.
What game are you most looking forward to? Of the eight?
I mean, the hypothetical one would be that UConn-Illinois game, and it just comes down to the fact that
UConn's playing San Diego State.
Well, right. I'm saying the hypothetical Elite Eight game for me is what gets me most excited, only because you have what's probably the best combo two guards in the country with Illinois in that game against what's probably just collectively just the best team in the country of UConn. And to me, if there is a team that probably would be able to stop UConn, it probably would be Illinois because of the guard play, but I don't know. You know, it's interesting, though, because when I was doing my bracket, I did have Tennessee as a possible team as well to kind of get going through to the tournament. I'm a big Dalton Connect guy.
That's another great game.
Yeah. It's interesting because, like, I think UConn can handle San Diego State pretty – I don't want to say pretty easily. Brian Dutcher's a really good coach, I think. And it might be justifiably fair, right? The Mountain West is getting a lot of crap right now. But, you know, Dutcher's a really good coach. I don't think many people really still fully know him, which is crazy because he's been around for a crazy long time since that he's still, like, technically in the infancy of his head coaching career because he's just – he was loyal to Steve Fisher from Michigan to San Diego State and was his head assistant. And did not leave to take another head coaching job and stuck with Steve Fisher up until, I guess it was 5 or so years ago now that Steve Fisher retired and Dutcher took over. And, you know, I think they'll come out and play UConn hard. I just think UConn, just the firepower is just a bit too much. You know what I mean? So hard to really, I guess, say that game. I guess I'm looking more at that hypothetical where it's, you know, you get these one versus twos or one versus threes, or I guess, you know, even on the flip side, your four versus, you know, two or three or, hell, 6 or 11 even. You never know, right? So I guess I'm looking maybe potentially-wise as more further down the line of what would be the game of the weekend, hypothetically.
So I have three ways of looking at this. The game, I think, has got should be the biggest storyline is the rematch national championship game with UConn and San Diego State. Correct. I mean, how often does that happen?
Right.
And it would be intriguing to see how they play them the second time around. I mean, not a lot has changed for either team. So it's two coaches that obviously know each other. The one game I'm going to be on the edge of my seat for, and I think it's gonna be a great one, is Purdue Gonzaga. Just the fact that I have Gonzaga win it at all and going against, again, going against the Purdue brackets. So I will be rooting for the Zags. Should be interesting. I'm looking forward to that one a lot, but the one game that's going to be the best game of the Sweet 16, I shouldn't say weekend, but just could be the whole weekend, but is in that UConn region, Illinois and Iowa State. Like, that is a toss-up. It's going to be a great game. I think these are two teams that have a legit shot to win the national title. It's just, this region was just not fair. How in the world did they come up? This region is loaded, and it's not shocking that Iowa State, Illinois, and UConn are. And
no, I mean, I remember when they announced the bracket, I mean, the East region was
full of conference champs, too.
Well, it was like the one region where really the seeding argument came in, where it's like, what the hell are we doing here? But especially the fact that Iowa State was technically number eight of those top eight teams. Like, when realistically, they probably should have been the last number one.
Like, you mentioned it, though. Creighton, yeah. Tennessee is going to be a good one.
The Duke-Houston game might technically be the headliner of the Sweet 16.
Really? I thought it was going under the radar, that game.
I don't disagree. I think it is going under the radar. Yeah. I think it probably is.
It's crazy it's not getting talked about
when
more.
When you go by firepower, it probably technically is the headliner. Yeah. Of the bunch.
It's a great game.
Yeah.
And I'm not hearing a lot of talk about that game. It's probably because of the Houston factor. Houston is an underrated team.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people talk about Houston.
Yeah.
Because they haven't proven it like some of these other teams.
Correct.
But North Carolina is going to be interesting if they can stop Alabama. If North Carolina can't shoot, it's going to be a long day. Alabama might have a shot in that game. But Joe Girard versus Caleb Love, I mean, who's not watching that? And I think Creighton, Tennessee is going to be a great one to wrap up the Sweet 16. Sure, I don't know if either one can jump Purdue, potentially Gonzaga, if they can beat Purdue. I don't know if they're going to even be favored in that regional final, the winner of that. But
are you saying Creighton in that situation or Tennessee in that situation?
I think if Gonzaga...
So I have a hot take about that then. I think if Tennessee plays Purdue, I think Tennessee gets favored.
Really?
I think that's the one...
I don't know if anyone...
I think that's the one team Purdue really does not want to see right now. And I only say it because I think the speed element might kill them in that game.
A lot of pressure on
Purdue.
You
know what I mean? Well, yeah, I mean, and justifiably so, right? But, like, and I love Zach Edey, but, man, like, all it takes, and they got, this is where kind of that element, like, Gonzaga's going to put up a fight against them because Gonzaga's
playing well right now.
Gonzaga's quick, too. Like, and that's the thing, like, it kind of chuckle at some of these teams, and it's also been on, like, on the women's side as well, too. But, like, if you were just hyper-focused on one person game plan-wise, you can shut down a lot of these teams. Purdue mainly, obviously, depending upon how you handle Zach Edey's the case. Because, I mean, like, look, Utah State had nobody for Zach Edey. Nobody.
No.
Couldn't stop him. Then, obviously, go deeper into the bag. Like, Grambling just didn't have nearly enough size anyway. Let alone, like, what Utah State had. But Grambling even would have been outsized by Utah State. So, you know, Gonzaga might be that perfect combo of, like, they don't have anybody to quite match up against Zach Edey size-wise, but they got the speed to really just blow by him. And that's the one thing I feel like Matt Painter's always kind of struggled with Zach Edey, is trying to figure out what to do with him when the other team's getting him exposed with his one weakness, which is speed, to be quite honest, you know.
And then the one game I didn't mention was NC State Marquette's going to be.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably the least popular game of the week, of the 316, but it's still an 11 seed.
I don't know about that.
What do you think is the least popular?
I mean, nobody really is talking about that Clemson-Arizona game, and probably justifiably so.
Yeah, I could see that too, but around here, I think people will be talking about Joe Girard, but.
Technically
speaking. But, I mean, nationwide, yeah, I could see that. But did get my guaranteed upset, James Madison over Wisconsin. Got that one right.
Yeah, you and everybody else besides me.
Obviously, I'm rooting for Gonzaga to win it all because I picked them. Mm-hmm. But McNeese, Pitt State, a lot of people were picking that one. That didn't come close.
I can't believe people were picking. So, here's my thing. And, again, I think a lot of this comes down to the fact that unless you're really watching, not even so much really watching some of these games, like, just look at the track record of Will Wade. Like, he can't coach himself out of a bag when the pressure's actually up. Like, that was his thing at LSU. We always talk about how great those LSU teams that he had, right? Remember, like, he was the coach for Ben Simmons and stuff like that. And that team that came out preseason number one and didn't even do anything all year.
Yeah.
Like, and cool. You were in the Southland Conference this year, which was a down year for the conference for the most part. Like, but like, I mean, come on. Like, if you legitimately thought that they were going to do anything, you were shot. Shot, I tell you.
But if you want my picks, who's going to go to the Final Four?
Sure.
Am I just going to go off my bracket?
I mean, I think you have to technically at this point.
I'm going to go Iowa State, North Carolina, Gonzaga. And since my other region I was terrible in, I will go with I think Houston will get there. As much as I would love to see NC State go into the Final Four.
And you know, to be fair, as bad as my bracket's been, I have all four of my Final Four teams still alive.
Nice. That's why you have projected so
high. I'm riding with Illinois, Arizona, Marquette, and Tennessee still.
You didn't take Houston. Okay, you went Marquette.
I had, to be fair to Houston, I had them losing to Nebraska, who lost to A&M. So I was high on the Huskers, admittedly, going into this tournament. So
you didn't actually, fun fact about Nebraska, they're the only Power 5 team to never win an NCAA tournament game.
Nebraska? Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
I think they're 0-9 now. But you didn't have one seed in your Final Four.
I guess I didn't, did I?
Are you? Yeah. Do you think it could happen? All 4-1 seeds go to the Final Four?
No, one of them will fall. I don't think we haven't had an all 4-1 seed in a while. I don't think so. So, no, I think one of them was going to fall. Who do I think would have the most likely odds of falling?
Got to be UConn. It's tough.
I would say probably Houston, though. I mean, I always say it because Houston will have to go through Duke and then, in my mind, go through Marquette. That's a tough back-to-back. That's a really tough back-to-back. If you just go by just, like, the fact they'd have to do it 2 years in a row, I mean, yeah, UConn, I guess, would be tough. But
wouldn't Arizona, Caleb Love taking on UNC be interesting? Be kind of interesting.
Thank God I'm going to be out of state for that game.
But, I mean, you said, not Marquette, Tennessee, Purdue, and Arizona. The biggest, they're some of the bigger chokers before the Final Four.
Yeah.
Can they get there? Any of them? Tennessee, Arizona, yeah. Purdue.
I mean, Marquette.
Well, not Marquette. I'm not putting Marquette in there. They went to the Final Four not too long ago, right?
Well, it's been a couple years, a few years. Marquette, remember, got upset last year.
Yeah. Didn't they go with Buzz Williams back in the day?
Yeah.
I thought so. Yeah.
2003. That was actually Tom Crean, technically, in 2003.
Yeah, that's right. So. Oh, Syracuse beat Elite Eight, didn't they?
Yeah.
That's right. They made it to the Elite Eight. Also, Shaka Smart, has he even been to the Elite Eight since VCU?
I don't think so.
I don't even know if he's been to the Sweet 16 since VCU.
I don't think so, yeah. either way, so which one do I think out of Tennessee, Arizona,
and Purdue?
And Purdue.
Can any of them get over the hump and make the Final Four?
I think Tennessee and Arizona. I mean, I picked Tennessee and Arizona in my
obviously, Final Tennessee Four, and so. Purdue could easily play each other.
I mean, I think they do. Creighton's, like I said, they've been so weird all year to me. Like, they're really good. I wish people would put more respect on them, but, like, I get why there was some justifiable hesitation on them.
Well, coach, though.
Yeah, I mean, Greg McDermott knows what he's doing. I mean, I kind of chuckle at the people who just, like, view that team as, like, it still is a mid-major program when they're not. Like, they are a footprint team of the Big East and justifiably, like, should be. Like, they're consistently good. It's like the people who are, like, surprised that, like, oh, Drake beat Indiana State. Like, Drake's a good year-in, year-out program. And now it's kind of funny considering that DeVries has taken the West Virginia job and his son's probably following him there. So, but either way, I mean, that's a program even without DeVries that was consistently at least contending of some sort in
one
the
last,
Valley.
One last take I want to do here. Kentucky, another choke.
I'm surprised that, and it came out, I guess, late-ish last night. Nothing quite like a Tuesday night news dump for college basketball in the middle of the tournament when there's, like, literally no eyes, like, or ears on you. That they're going to keep Calipari, and I'm not surprised just because I know and for him it's not technically a buyout. It's, like legit, like, they just owe him money if they were to fire him. I'm not surprised. It still caught me a little bit off guard, though, because, like, it's been a while since they've done anything significant.
Yeah, I know.
Right? Now, they've been good year in and year out, but it's, like, kind of they fall into that Virginia category for me where it's, like, Jesus, like, how are they? Especially for a team like Kentucky that is a blue blood program that, like, how do you just live year in and year out like that now?
I know. And they're not.
I still think Cal's a hell of a head coach. I don't know. It's kind of like the Alabama thing. Did NIL just sneak up on them so much that, like, caught them off guard? Like what the hell happened? Because, like, he can't even go back on the thing where it's like, I'd get you prepped for the NBA, and they can't. Like, he doesn't even really have that anymore.
No.
It's been a few years since Kentucky really had a true blue, like, NBA, prospects really come out. Like, it's probably been since that, like, that De'Aaron Fox, Bam Adebayo team, really, I guess. Unless I might be missing a couple in there. Like, well, Malik Monk was on that team, so that might be the last team that really had any of those, like, NBA guys on them, you know? So, yeah, I don't know. It's quite the conundrum to think about, given, especially in our lifetime, like, even before Calipari got there, like, they were good. Like, with Tubby Smith, like, they were good. And I guess, well, Patino was right. I guess technically our lifetimes, but we were, you know, like 3-2, so I don't know how much that really counts. But, you know, like, they were really good. Like, so I don't know. This is probably the worst they've been in our lifetime. And it's really weird to say, given the fact that, like, they're still well above 500 and they're still making tournaments and everything. It's
just not...
the end result's not been good.
Yeah. It's almost getting, like, predictable.
Yeah.
They're going to lose.
Yeah. It's a lot like the Duke thing right now for me. Like, it's kind of funny, like... excuse me.
I mean...
It's kind of like the Duke thing, right? Like I talked about that metric with Tony Bennett. Like, Krzyzewski was actually a negative number on that as well. He was slightly below average at negative 0.2, which isn't by a ton, right? But, like, Duke also hasn't won a natty, a national title in 12 years, right? Like, it's been 23 or 11
15,
years.
2015.
No, I thought it was 13.
They did win in 15.
Okay, so, yeah, I mean, it's been 9 years.
Julio Okafor's team.
It's been nine years. Allen. Like, yeah. And even then, like, in that little stretch in between 15 and the one before, like, we were always showing about how, like, okay, they're going to lose in the second or first round to who this year?
Yeah, you're thinking
justifiably
of the,
so.
You're thinking of the Butler one.
Yeah. But justifiably so, right? Because, like, they get smoked by this Lehigh team. It's like, where the hell did they kind of come from? And that was at the time,
Mercer.
Like, that was really at the time before, like, you could really watch some of these teams year in and year out before, like, ESPN Plus and stuff like that, right? Yeah. So... yeah, they're in that category now of just, like, for me anyway, it's like you're going to have to prove it again. Like, you're going to have to.
2015, they beat Wisconsin in the title game.
That's right.
Frank Kaminsky, Sam Decker.
Sauce Castillo.
Sam Decker, who's married to Kevin Harlan's daughter.
You know who Frank Kaminsky's married to?
Yeah, Ashley Brewer.
It's wild.
Yeah,
good for him.
She's, like, over there now, overseas where he's playing. She's, like, over there. She doesn't work for ESPN anymore, so.
Yeah, she was one of the cuts.
Yeah. But now should be a good, exciting weekend coming up. And just shout out Iowa, Room for Iowa Girls.
God, I'm not.
Women, I
got Stanford winning it all. I went with a little bit of a dark horse, and they're not really a dark horse.
Syracuse had a good run.
I'm so over UConn.
That's a former national championship game, too.
You know what? I'm going with a solo Cameron hot take here for UConn.
UConn women's.
Overrated. I'm sick of UConn. I'm sick of Gino Auriemma. Fire him into the sun. Okay? I'm so over UConn with everything. And I'm so over Iowa, too, at the same time.
Whoa.
I'm so over Iowa.
Go Notre Dame.
Go South Carolina or Stanford. I've said what I said. I'm staking my flag into the ground. But Notre Dame... that Hidalgo's really good. She didn't get first team, though. That pissed me off. I saw that.
Really? I didn't see that. That girl for Syracuse is good, though, too.
Daisha? Or are you talking about Georgia?
Number two.
So, Daisha.
Yeah.
Senior. Daisha Ferrier. Yeah. Hey, Georgia Woolley next year. I'm telling you. Look out. So.
Former national championship game, that UConn-Syracuse game. But
8 years ago.
They had a nice little run there.
Yeah.
But...
all right, let's get to the final, main topic. Opening day tomorrow. Nick, you kind of mentioned it a little bit. One of our favorite days around here, obviously.
Optimistic.
Looking forward to having many hot dogs tomorrow and stuff like that. But, yeah, we did our full baseball preview, so I'm not going to really get into too much, I guess, about stuff like that. We did that last week.
You get Jordan Montgomery signed yesterday.
Yeah, we had Montgomery 1 year, $25 million with the Diamondbacks.
I didn't see that. I thought for sure he was going to sign an East Coast team.
No, see, the way things were going, I'm not surprised he's where he is. I mean, it sounded like him and the Yankees were pretty far apart. Him and the Red Sox were pretty far apart. 1 year, $25 million, though, is a lot, but I think it says a lot about that potential injury to Rodriguez. So,
but when they get him back, Diamondbacks got a nice little rotation.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's going to be an odd man out situation for them, though, potentially. Don't know how, but potentially.
Who's out? Taff, whatever his name. Faff, what's his name?
Well, you have Faff.
Yeah, he's going to be in it.
I mean.
Kelly and Galen and then the other two.
Right. But you have Ryan,
Henry.
Yeah. Him or Faff is probably the odd man out, I would imagine. Barring some sort of
I don't know how you could take Faff out.
No.
He's been killing it.
Especially after the postseason he had last year. I guess really.
Well, how long's Rodriguez out for?
I don't know. I didn't see any official timetable on that. So,
it's like we'll see when the time gets here. Right. We'll see how.
Right.
See.
We do have one game postponed already. I saw because of weather.
Tomorrow.
Brewers and Mets.
Brewers Mets.
Doubleheader on Friday though.
Isn't that the 1 o'clock game?
Yeah. Doubleheader Friday though.
So we don't get a game till 3 or 4, whatever it is.
No, I think there still is like one other at 1.
I don't think so, man.
All right. I'll let you look it up, but. I always love opening day.
I like that they start
of spring, right? You know, it's kind of like you get through the winter.
I think I've mentioned this before. Yeah. I do like when all the teams are playing on the same day, but we got two postpones. Brave Phillies is postponed as well. But I liked when they gave us the national champ, the defending champ, the night before. It was like a nice little tease before the next day. But first game tomorrow is at 3 o'clock now. And there's only one at 3. It's Angels-Orioles.
And, well, if those other games are getting postponed, then they have a pretty good likelihood.
Yeah, Orioles.
As well. It's going to be interesting. If that's the case, and we don't have anything until that like late afternoon window at 4 o'clock. So, but...
What are you looking forward to about this baseball season?
Well, I kind of talked about last week a little bit, right? Just, I think, continuation of what the rules kind of started last year, and we had to see now year two of that, which to me is going to be really exciting, hopefully. I can't imagine it not. You know what I mean? It's going to be interesting. You know, the wind today. The pressure in the building's been nuts.
Yeah, it's like, are we inside?
Yeah. But, I don't know if we'll see like a 40 and 70 season again, like Acuna. I think everybody adapts, right? And you see, but I'm excited to see, okay, who's it will be that next guy to kind of rise up a little bit and, see someone we haven't really seen. We mentioned a little bit off air, you know, Bobby Witt, I guess I was on there too. You know, Bobby Witt, could we see him do like a 30 and 30 type season type thing? You know, who else might kind of fit that bill? Who are the young guys going to step up and take over? You know, who's that veteran that gives us that one last breath in the sun, right, of stuff like that? It's going to be interesting. I envisioned this year, if we didn't think last year was that turn the page year to a new chapter, a new time in baseball, I think it's this year. Where you see this next full generation of players stick their flag in the ground and really, frankly, take over the game, right? I mean, you mentioned the guy like Bobby Witt, right? We've talked about him a ton, obviously, on here. But, you know, it's one of those things where I look around baseball and then I'm getting a little bit more and more excited for the future every time I kind of look at it. And it's because I think a lot of people we get out of this phase of like, and I don't mean this as a dunk on him, even though I'm not a big fan of his by any means, but like, you know, we turn the page on like the Mike Trout quiet superstar thing. We get a little bit closer to, you know, having just more Cunhas around, right? You know, get a little bit more of your Adley Rutschmans around, you know, the guys who don't mind kind of being on the face of MLB The Show, you know, like, you know, and I get it. Maybe he hasn't been as great as we had hoped so far, but like, I'd rather have a guy out there like Vlad Guerrero Jr. who's more than willing to want to be his face on something than a guy who was just like, oh, I just want to keep myself quiet, you know. And I get it, like, but like, you can still go out there and kind of market the game and market yourself. And I think this younger generation that, you know, is coming into the game right now is really good at it. And I think you'll see it kind of take off a little bit more this year, than last year.
What I'm hoping for, I noticed this in draft and fantasy last week. I'm hoping for more elite starting pitchers by the end of the year.
Oh, okay.
A lot of great. You could say great. You could say good starting pitchers. They're just not elite. Like up there was Zach Wheeler, Spencer Strider. Garrett Cole was always the lock, but he's hurt right now. We want more elite. I want like 10 to 15 elite starting pitchers. I know elite is a tough term to use because you don't want to overuse it. But, yeah, I want some more lead starter pitchers. I'm expecting a big year out of the pitchers. It's all about the hitters a lot of the time. It's the rising hitter stars. I want a rising pitcher stars. And obviously, you know, being a Pirates fan, I think we're going to get one this year. And Paul Skenes, you know, you don't think he's coming up this year, but
I think if he does, it's a rush.
But I think I want a pitching star in this league again. I want the best player in baseball to be a pitcher. And... But to give you, I'll give you some bold predictions.
Have at it.
Some interesting, fun bold predictions. We're gonna have an inside the park walk off home run this year.
Okay.
And I know with the runner on second and everything, we're gonna have a 20 inning game this year. Wow. You're gonna get like a Tigers Twins game on a random Wednesday night. Just they can't score an extra.
It's snowing in July.
20 inning game. In walk off inside a park home run, we're getting it.
All right, I like that. Can I give you a couple names of pitchers that could maybe be that young who really, you know,
Cole Reagans
is one, yeah, but Joe Ryan for the Twins could be another one. Kind of missed a little bit of one even in your own backyard. I think Mitch Keller, we talked about him last week a little bit. I think as long as he stays healthy this year, I mean that was his issue last year. First time really, I guess, being on the IR, the injured list.
What was it? The DL?
Yes. But yeah. Wow, look at me go on that one. But you know, I there's some young guys. We mentioned right Pfaff a little bit already, kind of came on the scene during the playoffs last year. Maybe he could be a guy. Garrett Crochet comes back. Sounds like the White Sox are making him a star. I know he's starting opening day for them technically tomorrow, but can he hold on tight and go for a whole year?
Did you see, not to interrupt your picks here, but did you see White Sox? There was like a ice cream.
Oh, the milkshake? Oh, I am about that milkshake.
It's huge. It's one thing, good thing coming out of that team this year.
I would gladly pay the $30 that thing probably costs.
Yeah, it probably does.
I have no idea how much it actually costs, but I'd fork it over.
Anyway, more pitchers?
Well, I mean.
Jesus Luzardo.
I think he's already kind of on the scene, though, isn't he? He's kind of staked his.
I'd like to see Yuri Perez, but he's just hurt right now.
Yeah, but, you know, Sixto Sanchez, Max Mayer, could be a couple of guys. It's kind of interesting. I feel like I'm seeing a lot of lefties. For every reason, it's always the lefties that kind of seem to give the pizzazz now.
Speaking of lefties, Chris Sale, what are you expecting on him? He could be a nice piece.
I don't even know how the Braves are really going to use him for a full season.
See, I have...
Like, that's the issue with
that. I said this last week. I have question marks with that Braves rotation. They act like it's like one of these great rotations. Yes, Fried and Strider are good. I'd like to see Strider do it again, and... Charlie Morton's old.
Right.
And Chris Sale is a question mark. So
can I give you some other guys, too? Logan Webb, going in the pitcher route.
He started really coming on last year.
Right. But my guy, Dean Kremer, possibly. But I think we forgot about a couple of the guys who have been here that are great. You know, he didn't mention Aaron Nola at all. A little bit disrespectful in my mind.
And why stop at starters? I think Alexis Diaz could have a great year for the Reds.
Yeah.
Camilo Duvall's already, he's come on, but.
I'm just doing some more David Bednard.
Yeah, I love Ben Renegade.
He had it made.
Yeah, I think, let's have the pitchers, man. Take a step this year.
We want the pitchers back, is what you're saying.
Yes. I want the pitchers back. I want, you know.
You were over the offense being back for 1 year. You want the pitching to be back.
Yes. I don't want a 4 ERA to say, oh, good season. Because that's what it's come to a little bit.
I don't think so. I don't think that's the case either.
Keller have a good year last year? Yes. He had a 4 ERA.
I mean, he was also hurt.
For a little bit. He also had 200 strikeouts. But I'm just saying. Some people say this guy's good with a 4 ERA. And it's just, I didn't grow up looking at a 4 ERA and thinking that's good. But strikeouts?
There were a lot more 4 ERAs when we were growing up than there are now.
You think so?
Absolutely.
Reality. There's definitely more 4 ERAs.
All I'm saying is I think there were more Omar Dahls running around back in the day than there are now. You don't know who that is, do you? Okay. There were a lot more Josh Foggs running around than there are now.
MVP Baseball 2005, Josh Foggs. But yeah.
We'll be the next Salomon Torres.
Carlos Rondon, opening day starter. I mean, they had to.
No, he's not.
I get him mixed up.
How dare you confuse Nestor Cortez?
I had Nestor Cortez in my head, but I said Carlos Rondon.
They're two very different people.
But they're both lefties.
Are you saying all lefties are the same? Is that what you, Nick Felice, are going on the record of saying right now? All lefties are
not the same? That Rogers guy who throws like from his shoes. Is it Taylor Rogers? Relief pitcher for the Giants. He has a twin brother.
Yeah, but his twin brother's the one who submarines, okay. Who's the righty.
Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking.
Taylor's the lefty.
Oh, that's right. He's the righty. they're weird. But
you're the weird one right now.
Yeah, I was thinking of Nestor Cortez, but I said Carlos. But yeah, Nestor Cortez opening day. I mean, they had to.
Yeah.
They had to.
I was here for the anarchy of Marcus Stroman.
It will be interesting to see how he pitches in that Yankees game. I think
he does great.
You think he does great?
Yeah.
Your brother's nervous about him, isn't he? I think I remember saying.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. I think he does great, too. But they're going to hit for him.
It'll be fun. It will be fine. It will be fun. Baseball's fun.
It is until you go for 4 for
Nick, that's not the attitude we want right now, brother.
MVP. Nate McLaughlin makes a return, wins MVP.
Him and Travis Snyder. How's your two with John Jaso?
Hey, he went on a boat and he didn't come back.
That's not accurate.
So he said he's going to go on off his retirement. He's going to go on some boat. You'll never see him again.
We need to do.
Have you seen him again?
We need to bring back the ABC game.
Oh, the ABC.
I'm thinking of one right now for an A.
Oh yeah, that game.
Go ahead, take a stab at it.
Adam Lynn.
No.
Adam Duvall.
No.
Adam Wainwright.
It's a former pitcher. Although he still pitches technically in the Atlantic League.
I don't know.
Sorry, I went for Al Albuquerque.
Ah. Well, enjoy the...
Those were the bus rides for us back in the day, by the way, people for baseball. So,
inside joke right there.
Yeah.
Mike Wood would know. Andrew Lucchesi.
Anybody on the Miners Academy buses...
No, that's not true.
No.
That's not true. There's only a few of us that actually liked it.
Yeah, but everybody knew the game.
Yeah, everyone knew the game.
Because freaking people would try and stump me on half of them, and I would just bust out like somebody.
Hey, it made those rides, especially that ride to Wayne. It made a lot faster.
Sheesh. More the ride back, but yeah. I don't know. Either way. So that pretty much does it. I'm going to Richmond this weekend.
That's right.
How about it for the races?
I see William Byron won another road course.
Yeah, first repeat winner this year in the Cup schedule. So
he's good.
Yeah, about time. I don't mean it in that sense. I think it's...
I like his crew chief,
me
though.
Being the former, first favorite driver, being the driver of the 24, and I'm just happy to see that the driver of this 24 is living up to the hype.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah. That's a shot at Chase Elliott I just did, by the way.
I like Chase, but yeah, he did not do well in that 24.
He I don't know if it's fair to have the discussion about Chase Elliott right now, but I think if we get to the end of the year and nothing's changed, it might be time to start having a discussion. You know what I mean? Anyway, we're going off topic.
Yes.
Looking forward to it, yeah. My Friday night's a bit up in the air. We might do the modified race at Richmond. We might go to the VCU baseball game. They're home this weekend. I think they play Bonaventure, actually, this weekend, so that would be pretty interesting. A little 8-10 baseball action.
Nice.
So, yeah, Xfinity race Saturday, Cup on Sunday on Easter. Broke my mom's heart when I said that I was not going to be in town for Easter. So,
I went 2 years in a row without being in town for Easter. It was senior year of high school, went down to Florida and played baseball. Yeah. Then the next year, I went to Pittsburgh for opening series.
Yeah, so,
never been to opening day, but I went to the second and third game of the season.
Well, it's a little bit different. You're still with family, though, for those two. So,
yeah,
either way. But yeah, looking forward to it. Going to be fun. Night race as well, Sunday night. So, look forward to that. Call my shot here. I think Martin Truex Jr. gets the win on Sunday. So go ahead, run to the betting tables, everybody. Lock in Martin Truex Jr.
Nice. I love Good Friday. That was the day I was born on. Not the this year.
I can't wait to wish you a happy birthday by like 3 weeks this Friday because you said it.
Well, my birthday ends on the Masters. And I share a birthday with my mom, who's a big Tiger Woods fan. Last time it ended on the Masters, I was eating in Captain Jack's, which I think just got sold.
Really?
Sodas.
Huh.
New owners or something?
Huh.
But anyway, I was at Captain Jack's because they, let me get a story. They have a deal. Right. If it's your birthday, you get how many wings, how old you are, free. And so we were there for my birthday. Last time we were there, the Masters was going on. It was earlier because of the rain that was coming in later. And Tiger Woods won that year, 2019.
Oh, the last year before the Panorama. Yeah.
It was.
So, all right. We've rambled and ambled on enough. So what's that? Let's get out here. Nick, who are you shouting out?
It's opening day. It's opening day. It's a good feeling day.
Yeah.
Or tomorrow. But correction on my shout out last week. I said Jaren Johnson's birthday was Tuesday. It was actually the Monday before. First time we've ever had a correction shout out. So happy belated birthday, Jaren. But for this week, shout out my friend Josh. I think I shout him out every year. His birthday is on Easter on Sunday, the 31st.
Wow, I can't believe you guys are only born 2 days apart.
Yeah. We're just going to say he's 29 this year.
Yeah.
Because I believe it is the big 3-0. But he'll be 29 for the rest of his life. So happy birthday, Josh.
Attaboy, Nick.
Josh, obviously, defending his fantasy baseball title. And he's second in our tournament challenge right now. Also, shout out Samantha Feliz, my sister out of nowhere, tied for third in the tournament challenge. Maybe this is...
I mean, she lives in the Triangle. She knows her college hoops now.
She, probably knows nothing about college basketball, but here she is. She knows a little bit.
She has season tickets for NC State, Duke, and UNC.
Well, she lives in Raleigh. She had NC State right in the Sweet 16, as North Carolina win it all, so we'll see.
Yeah. And she's close enough to the Campbell Fighting Campbell. She knows her college hoops. Come on now.
And Greensboro. Exactly. Greensboro Grasshoppers.
UNCG, baby. And UNCW. I mean, they're right hop, skip, and a jump across 95, you know? So
shout out Samantha.
Shout out
and Josh.
Shout out to everybody. Yeah. So Nick, appreciate you. See you next week when you definitely won't have a birthday either again. So
hopefully the Pirates will be 5-0 next time I see you.
How about it? All right. So when we see you, it'll be next Wednesday. Like, share, subscribe, all the fun stuff. And enjoy the weekend, everybody. Happy Easter. See what I did there? Happy Easter. All right. So we'll get out here on that.
Get him out of here.
Sad pun.